Let's start our practice today at the short edge of your mat with your feet right under your hips. And begin by, with an inhalation, stretching the arms out to the side and up. Just a big breath, sort of opening your heart and the body to the sun, to the energy of the sun. So you can look up between the hands. Maybe your hands come together and maybe not. It doesn't matter. But think about lifting the chest without overarching in your back. Just a big breath. And then on the exhale, sweep the arms out to the side and open. Bend the knees and fold forward, bringing the hands to the floor. And then lift the sit bones, so kind of lifting up in the lower belly. And allow the spine to release. And if it's if your hamstrings are tight, soften the knee. You can even pedal your feet a little bit. Spread your toes. Be fluid and in connection with the floor. And negotiating any tightness in the legs with the idea that you're opening up and lifting from the pelvic floor and the lower belly and also releasing the spine, the shoulder girdle and the arms, the neck and the head. Then step one foot and then the other all the way back to downward facing dog. Take a big breath here, pressing the mat away from you with your hands, reaching the heels towards the floor. Feel free to keep the heels up and or the knees bent so that you can actually tilt the pelvis and lift through the lower back again and the pelvic floor, the lower belly lift, the sit bones lift and spread. And then when you're ready, we'll step the right foot forward. And here you can stretch the left heel back and keep the knee up, or if you would like to bring the knee down, that's fine also. So either way, separating the legs, getting a nice lift out of the pelvic floor up the front of the spine, the shoulder blades move together and down the back. And then with the next inhalation, if it's easy enough for you, open the arms out to the side and again, opening the heart to the sun. This is our first sun salutation of this class, and you can look up, or if your balance is a little shaky, you can keep your hands down on the hips or even on the floor and look straight ahead. On the exhale, the arms open out and down. So you can keep the heart open all the way to the floor. Step back to downward dog. Big breath here. Inhale, spine lengthens. Exhale, lower the knees to the mat. And then walk your hands forward and bring the pelvis in line with the head. So you kind of shift your pelvis forward. You'll be on a plank pose from your knees. So just a real strong line from the knees through the crown. Then bend the elbows and lower yourself all the way to the floor slowly so you maintain some integrity through the spine. Bring the chin towards the chest. And on the inhale, I'm going to lift the chest and the head. Keep the back of the neck long. The legs are active. Squeeze the hips together. Strong legs reaching back behind you. Big breath down into the lower ribs. And on the exhale, pressing through the hands, coming down and pressing through the hands, either onto the hands and knees or all the way back to downward dog, whichever works for you. Big breath, finding your alignment. And again, being a little fluid inside the boundaries of what alignment is possible for you. And then step the left foot forward. So we'll take the lunge practice on this side. So first, actively moving the legs away from each other, actively lengthening through the whole core of the body. The spine moves deeper into the body, lifting up the front of the spine. Shoulder blades move together and down. Find your breath in the lower ribs. And on the next inhale, opening the arms out to the side as you bring the torso up, but still keep lowering way down through the pelvis. And perfectly fine to have the knee down. It may help you to feel a bit more lifted through the spine to actually bring the knee all the way to the floor. So whatever works for you. And on the exhale, arms sweep out and down. And step back to downward dog. Big breath here. And then as you would like, we'll once again bend the knees to the mat. And then bring your pelvis forward so you're in line with the knees through the crown. Bend the elbows, lowering to the mat. Squeeze the hips together, tops of the feet on the floor, shoulder blades down. Inhale into Bhujangasana. And exhale down, pressing through the hands, either back onto the hands and knees or all the way back to Downward Dog. Resting breath, refine your alignment here, spreading the fingers, spreading the toes, lifting from the sit bones in the lower belly. Staying connected between the pelvis and the chest so that you don't overarch the back and that you also are not too rounded through the thoracic spine. So looking for that neutral alignment and strong line through the shoulders. Couple breaths, and then we'll step the feet forward behind the hands. Crown of the head towards the floor, sit bones lift, weight equally distributed on the bottoms of the feet. Inner thighs roll back. Keep the knees soft if you need to bring the hands to the floor. Bend the knees when you're ready. Open the arms out to the side. You'll be in Utkatasana. This is also an opening towards the sun, so looking ahead and allowing the energy of the sun to come down through the body, radiating into the core of your body and through the navel center, which is the sun center in the body. And then straighten the legs. Open the arms out to the side as you exhale and down. Step back with your left foot facing the long edge of your mat. Keep the right foot turned in just a little bit so your both toes are pointed forward. And then on an inhale, lift the right arm out to the side and stretch way up with that arm. And then exhale and lengthen out on the diagonal towards the left. Use the left hand to support you on the leg. And keep lengthening on the underneath side of the ribs even as you lengthen or stretch the side body. Be careful about the front ribs jutting. You want to draw those in so you can find the front body, expand in the back body, and then lengthen all the way from the ankle out through the side body into the fingers. Come up on an inhalation. Big inhale and exhale the arm out and down. And then the other side. Inhale the arm up, stretch way up. Ground through both feet, particularly the left side this time, and then exhale and lengthen towards the right. Press the foot into the floor, draw the belly in, keep the lower ribs drawn in, expand the kidneys and the back rib cage, and then draw the sit bones together on the back. So the back stays contained, the front stays contained, the back opens, and the upper part of the back, the sit bones move together. And then lengthen the side body, breathing through the whole length of the body. Coming up on an inhalation. And float the arm down on the exhale. And then bend the knees slightly and bring your hands to your hips. I'm going to fold right from the crease of the hip forward. So just folding forward, keeping the spine very neutral, folding all the way down, however far that you go easily. Bend the knees if you need to so you can get your fingertips to the floor. And then lifting the sit bones, hollowing out the lower belly and the pelvic floor, again, contracting in the area of the gut so that you lengthen and support from that place. Press the feet into the floor and release the spine. Just allow the spine to elongate in this opposite direction that gravity usually works. So allow gravity to draw the head, the shoulders, and the chest away from the pelvis. Perfectly fine to bend the knees or to bend one knee and shift your weight to the side and then bend your other knee and shift the weight in that direction. So these are ways to help to soften up through the joints to create some flexibility in the inner thigh. And when you're ready, Bring your hands to the shins, and then from the lower gut, lengthen out. Take a breath just in a neutral position here. So you're looking for support on the front of the spine, particularly the lumbar spine. Shoulder blades stay down. And then as you like, coming up all the rest of the way on an inhale, kind of sliding your hands up. And then step back to the short edge of your mat. Feet right under the hips. And we will drop right into Utkatasana to kind of recollect energetically. So bending the knees and opening the arms up, either through the front or out through the side on an inhale. Let the pelvis drop and the spine lengthen as you drop your weight. And then lift or stretch the arms up, again welcoming the sun into the body. Upper arms move towards the side of the head. And breathe. And then straighten legs. And exhale the arms out and down. Now we'll strip the feet a little wider apart than your hips. Bend the knees and rest your hands down onto the thighs. On the exhale, contract by pressing the feet into the floor. Contract the pelvic floor, the lower belly, the side hips, the buttocks. Squeeze and then release on the inhale. And then you release kind of slowly and with control. And then exhale again, very strong and as deep as possible. So you want to get to the pelvic floor, but use the legs, the inner thighs, and even draw the sit bones together in the back in order to make that lower belly, pelvic floor engagement more intense. This is the practice of Agni Sara. And Sara, Agni meaning fire, and Sara meaning essence of, is we are looking for a activation of the solar energy or the sun energy in the body. It's associated with the navel center and the gut. The digestive fire is a physical manifestation of it. And also with the right side of the body. So that strong awakening of our vitality not only brings us health and energy, enthusiasm, but also begins to awaken the extraordinary and special spiritual energy that allows us to explore more subtle levels of consciousness. Okay, and then let's come up to standing. Just take a moment, a breath or two here, and then step your feet a little closer together. And then for Vrikshasana, which is a challenge to our balance, but also helps us to work with the refining the energetic component of our practice, and to integrate the energy we've stirred up through the pelvis to bring it up through the rest of the body, particularly through the middle channel of the body. So standing tall, bring your hands to your hips and getting a little taller on the right side so you can bend the left knee, turn it out to the side without collapsing into your hip joints. So you're standing up really tall off the hip. And then bring the foot to the inner thigh. Use your hands if you need to. That's fine. And here, press the foot into the thigh into the foot. Sacrum moves deeper into the body and lifting up equally strongly on both sides of the torso. Then bring the hands together in front of the heart and feel the arm bones, the shoulder girdle, that shoulder blades and collarbones, and feel how they support the alignment through the thoracic spine and the cervical spine. So this stabilizes your alignment through the upper body and allows the strong work in the legs, pressing the standing foot down, drawing the knee back, foot and thigh pressing against each other, pelvic floor lifting all the way through the head, base of the skull, crown of the head. Come down whenever you need to or would like to. And then we'll try the other side. Take a resting breath and collect your energy and your awareness. And then standing tall on the left side, bend the right knee, rotate it out to this side, and bring the foot up to the inner thigh, ankle, shin, wherever it comes. Hands on the hips to try to keep the pelvis as level as you can. The knee moves back. There's a a lock through the lower body, through the thigh into the foot, foot into the thigh, strong work down through the legs without gripping. And then bring the hands together in the front of the chest again, pressing the heels of the hands, lifting the elbows. And feel your alignment from the sole of the foot through the crown of the head. Breathing easily down into the lower ribs. And notice if you're holding the breath or gripping anywhere. And see if you can be very light and yet very strong, very connected. So it's the energetic alignment of the pose that supports it and not the gripping of the muscles. It's also possible here, if you are so inclined, to bring the arms up alongside the head, not necessarily with the hands together. So most of us have shoulder alignment that would do better with hands slightly apart, but move the upper arms towards the side of the head so you continue this theme of drawing energy into the center channel and reaching out. And again, a welcoming of the sun through this opening and expansion of the body. And because of the strong interconnections, the integrating of the moon energy that comes from the centers in the head through the rest of the body. And as you like, exhaling the arms out and down as you lower the foot. Take a breath and feel the strength and the balance in the legs and through the whole body. And then turn to face the short edge of your mat, and we'll come through Utkatasana to make a transition to the floor, bending the knees, opening the arms up. Keep the lower belly engaged as you stretch through the fingertips. On the exhale, arms out to the side and down to the floor as you lift the sit bones and then straighten the legs. Step one foot and the other back to downward dog. Feel free to slip into child's pose if downward dog has become too much of an effort. And from this position, we'll slip the right knee forward for Kapottasana, the big stretch to the outside edge of the hip. The most comprehensive text for Hatha Yoga is the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. This is the pre-modern text. And there are no standing postures in the Pradipika and many sitting postures. So we will prepare for those here with this pose by giving a stretch not only to the outer hip, which would be the right hip in this case, but also across the top of the thigh, which might be a more resistant place for some of you. So there are a couple of places to work with this, and one of them is to come forward a bit, and that helps to stretch the side hip, and you may need to spend some time here if you're tight in this direction. And the other, which is a more full expression of the pose, is to walk the fingertips back alongside the pelvis and to lift the spine into a neutral position. And it's a little more challenging because the back leg resists, if not the hip or both. There are ways to prop this, which you may be aware of, and so feel free to work with this in any way that works for you. The full expression of the pose is to bend the back knee, and that may or may not be something that's of interest, and you can hold the knee or the foot with the hand. That gives a little of additional opening across the thigh and also helps to open the shoulder girdle. So a valuable pose for that reason. As we move to the other side, consider that you can come all the way back to downward dog to sit it up, or come to your hands and knees. So either of those. If downward dog is easy for you, it's a nice way to reset, counterpose hip and knee, and then bringing the left knee forward, we'll take it on the left side. There's a little less opening on the hip if you keep the foot closer to the opposite hip. So there's no reason why you would bring the shin parallel to the edge of your mat unless you wanted an additional stretch in the hip. The other thing to keep in mind is that more flexibility in the hip is not necessarily a good thing. So it's important that the hips are stable and that we don't spend all of our time trying to destabilize them by creating more flexibility and less strength. So, and there's also a great variation in natural hip alignment. So keep your heel back unless you're perfectly sure that it's a good thing to have it further up. Okay, and when you're ready here, let's do come back to either child's pose or downward dog. And again, nestling the feet into the mat, spreading your toes and feeling the hips and the knees kind of realigning. And then as you like, we'll lower both knees to the mat and separate the feet slightly and sit down between the feet for Virasana. This is not a pose that works out for everyone, so it's perfectly fine to sit on your heels or even cross-legged if this is too hard for the knees or the hips. It's a wonderful posture if you are able to get close to it, and you can also work with just one leg at a time if that's helpful. And a prop under the pelvis can also be helpful. Press your hands into your soles of your feet if they're available. Otherwise, you can just press your hands onto your thighs. When you press the hands down, you'll feel the shoulder girdle engage and a lift up through the core of the body in the same way that we played with in Vrikshasana, the tree pose. And then find your breath in the lower ribs. This pose is a good counter to the external rotation in many of the other sitting postures. And as you like, you can come back, walk your hands out, and either come onto your hands and knees or even into downward dog for just a moment or two to, again, realign. So countering the internal rotation of the thigh that we just worked with. Yeah, and as you like, we'll lower the knees to the mat. And then shift your hips off to the right. And we're going to work with twisting posture at this moment. And so you want to turn with, turn there. Good. And then separate your feet wider than hip width apart. The sitting postures, many of the sitting postures are twists in the, even in the oral tradition, a lot of the sitting postures involve twisting. And they're greatly valued, partly because of their strong effect on the sun center in the pelvis, and because they also release the spine and draw energy more deeply into that center channel that's so important in the Pradipika with its inclination or its goals of bringing the mind to a state of stillness and driving energy from the pelvis to engage with the energies of the heart and the head. So here, dropping the knees to the right and then twisting around to the right, bringing the left arm with you to the floor behind you. And the left hip comes up, so the pelvis moves as a unit here, and you'll feel the turn right in the diaphragm and the gut. Breathe down into that, and just allow the breath to help you to open any places that feel a little stuck or in need of opening, or that make you feel more expansive and contained at the same time. So there's a lift up the spine, and there's also this strong turn, and then there's a strong sense of inner space expanding. And then you can come back around on an inhale. Keep your feet where they are. They come to the floor. And then you drop the knees to the left. This pose resembles very much Varadvajasana, which is not a posture in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, but from the oral tradition, named after the sage. And it requires both Virasana and Padmasana. So a modification that doesn't require either is, you know, something that is useful to many of us. Again, the shoulder blades move down. There's kind of a lift up the spine, But adjust the pose in any way you like to get, again, into that all-important center of the body, in the navel center, the gut, the viscera of the abdomen and the pelvis. When squeeze and turn and open up, it feels enlivening. So your breath moving down. And as you like, coming back around on an inhalation. And then we can try you can either repeat this twisting posture or choose a sitting posture of your desire, which could be Ardha Matsyendrasana. We'll work a little bit with Varadvajasana, so turn the left foot back alongside you in half Virasana, and then the right onto the thigh in half Padmasana. If your knee's not down, then you may want to keep the foot and the whole leg on the floor, or go back to the twist that we just did, or to choose another sitting posture, which could be a cross-legged twist or Matsyendrasana. From here, you twist to the right. The left hand comes to the outside of the knee, and the right arm either to the floor behind you or perhaps all the way around the back of the waist, and it may or may not reach your toes. So depending on your proficiency in bound Padmasana, the whole version of the posture may be available or maybe not. A few breaths here with that same sense. This time, the shoulder girdle and the pelvis are both more locked into place than they were in the twist that we just did. And that can be to your advantage, or you may find that other twist was more appropriate. And coming back around on an inhale. And we'll take the pose on the other side. And you may find that on one side or another, it's not possible to work with Padmasana, so you can choose a variation that allows you to get to the benefit of the pose without traumatizing a knee or hip or whatever it might be. One hand to the floor, and you can see that Stacey has her fingertips on the floor, and that helps her to keep the spine lifted. If you recall that the thing we're most interested in, the sun being in the navel center and the moon being at the root of the palate, and that somehow those two things get connected and that there's an energetic exchange from there that's the opposite of what it normally is, then we realize that our alignment through the core of the body and the activation of that energy through the core of the body is the goal of the poses, along with opening up this breath, which brings the pranic force into awareness and also activates it. So in that case, we use our arms and our legs both to help stabilize and activate through the core of the body, which is what we're doing here in this twist. Coming back around on an inhale. And then bringing both legs out in front. One of the other interesting postures in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, which may be neglected in your personal practice, is a little bit of an unusual pose. It's called Dhanur Asana, but it's not the backward bend. It's the archer pose. So probably start by folding forward. You can bend the knees if you need to, and you're going to hold the big toes. And one of them, let's say starting with the left side, is that good for you, Stacy? Bend the knee and draw the toe back by your ear as if you're drawing your bow. You know, this is exactly what happens. You take the bowstring and draw it back. Now, because it's an archer and a bow, you need to focus on your target, whatever it is. And in this case, your focus is what aligns the pose. Your focus creates the balance in the pose, because it's a very highly asymmetrical pose, and it's a curious balance and kind of an awkward one. So it's your gaze that's going to hold it together. And then you can switch sides whenever you're ready. Take a resting breath. It may be a little easier on one side than the other, just depending on your flexibility, and most of us have some asymmetrical things going on in the pelvis. So gazing straight ahead, bullseye, and you've drawn your bow. and creating this kind of potential power in the body in the same way that a drawn bow has an enormous amount of potential energy. Make sure you're breathing. And when you're ready, you can lower the leg. Take a resting breath with your hands down beside the pelvis. And then bring your hands to the crease of your hip and your fingertips in your lower belly. Soften your knees if you need to. We're going to fold forward, and you might move your feet just about an inch apart or so, so you reach out equally strongly through both inner edges of your feet, the inner edges of the heels. This is Paschimottanasana, the stretch for the back or the west side of the body. The tantric tradition views the body as a miniature world, so there are directions. And then you can bring your hands to the wherever they comfortably go. Traditionally, they hold the big toes and draw them back just like we did in the archer pose, but you may find that your hands are on your shins or even higher or on the floor beside you or holding the outside edge of the foot. There are many options here. The key thing to keep in mind is an integration through the spine so that you're not dropping your rib cage down onto your pelvis. You can see that Stacy has a very nice symmetrical curve all the way from the tailbone through the crown of the head, and that's what you're looking for. That integration through the spine is more key than how far down you come. So feel free to keep the knees bent, to prop under the pelvis, or whatever it takes to get some sense of the engagement in the core of the body through the pelvis, through the lower belly, through the navel center, and a connection through the spine, connecting navel center, sun center, with the moon center. There's a strong stimulation in the sun center here. So this posture is the benefits listed in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika are destroys the network of illnesses in the body, stimulates the gastric fire, so the vitality and health that it engenders are throughout the body, throughout all of the systems of the body, and awakens Kundalini, that extraordinary extra energy. So breathing and letting the mind move inward. And when you're ready, you come up a little bit slowly, lengthening through the spine. And you may feel inclined to bring your hands behind you on the floor and to lean back a bit so that there's an opening on the front body. The counterpose for this is to stretch for the east side of the body. So pressing the soles of the feet towards the floor. And then just lift the pelvis up in line with the heart. And you don't have to hold this very long. Just kind of allow the front of the body to open up. And then you can sit back down. Okay, and now, kind of continuing our theme of working through the core of the body, we're going to bend both knees and hold the toes with your fingers, sitting up really tall. This is a hip balance. So again, the length of the spine, the integrity of the alignment, the neutral alignment through the spine is the thing that we're most interested in. So as you straighten your legs now into an inverted V kind of pose, keep that length through the spine. Pull on the toes, reach through the heels, and again, separate your heels slightly so that they lift up equally on the inner edges of the heels. And then let the shoulder girdle feel strong, but not, pulled up. So you can draw the shoulder blade down to support the connection between the cervical spine and the thoracic spine. Soften the jaw, the face, the eyes, breathe. Feel the lower belly moving in and the pelvic floor moving in and up and feeling the connection between pelvis, the heart, the throat, and the center of the head, and the crown of the head. Lower the feet to the floor on an exhale, and open the knees out to the side. Fold forward now over the feet, and the feet can be out in front of you a good distance, or they can be drawn all the way into the pelvis. It doesn't matter too much. There's a slightly different stretch on the hip regardless, or wherever you are, depending on where you are. Soften the back of the neck. And again, the lower belly moves in. The knees reach toward the floor. And the spine lengthens. And breathing. This is a difficult position for many of us. Either the inner thighs are tight, or the basic anatomy of the pelvis and the femurs, the thighs, doesn't lend itself to the opening in this pose. So here's another way to work with this that can be very useful. I'm going to open the left leg out to the side, straightening the left leg and keeping the right leg in the position for Baddha Konasana. And then use your right hand to kind of press the right thigh down. So you're going to anchor the thigh and then turn over the left leg. And you can lean however far you want in that direction. But you may feel this side waist opening, inner thigh opening. You may feel the inner thigh on the extended leg as well. So this version or preparation for Baddha Konasana may give you more satisfaction than the classic teaching of this pose. You can also come straight forward. That's another option. Keep your kneecap pointed up, but you can just lean forward and you'll feel the inner thighs again. But a lot easier than having the soles of the feet together. So if you have issues in the SI joints or the hips, this may be a better choice than the feet together in the classic version of the pose. And you'll definitely want to do both sides. So pressing the thigh down to anchor that. Your sit bone may still come up, but you're really pushing the thigh gently away from the pelvis. So you're creating some space in the hip joint and asking the big muscles on the side waist as well as the inner thigh to release enough to allow the pelvis and the legs to open in a particular way. So you play with this in whatever way it works for you to help you to find into the spots that are perhaps stuck or inert or just not as integrated or connected as they should be. And when you're ready, we'll come up and bring the legs around behind you, coming face down. We want to create balance in the body from the front to back, and that's part of our whole reason for practicing. So here, to strengthen along the core of the body on the back side, squeeze the hips together. On the inhale, lift the legs, and then lift the heart and chest. You can lift the arms as well. They face the side of the body, the arm, hands. Yeah, there you go. Shoulder blades down. Stay long in the base, from the base of the neck to the base of the skull. Stretching the legs long behind you. Easy breath. And come down on an exhale. Now you can either repeat this pose, or if you are ambitious, and it's not too uncomfortable. For some of us, the Shalambhasana, the lotus pose, is not that comfortable. But the option is to lift now just the legs and the pelvis, but when you start by bringing the arms under the body. So you roll to one side, bring the arm under, roll the other, bring the other arm under, and then you can either interlace the hands, you can turn the fists any way you like. Some people do well with their palms down, so whatever works for you. But you can see that Stacy has the weight of her torso or chest on the arms, and that really makes a huge difference. The pelvis is resting on the hands. And since we're going to lift the pelvis, good to have it a few inches off the floor already. Now, on the exhale, hip squeeze, and you're going to lift the legs, pressing the arms down. The weight's going to rest on the arms and the sternum and the chin. So, very intense pose and really excellent for the whole back side of the body, particularly the lower back. Breathing and coming down whenever you need to. Head to one side, take a breath, and just notice how intense this posture is. And as you're ready, you can sit back in child's pose. And we'll take a rest here. It's kind of settling. One of the other very interesting postures in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika is Mayurasana, the peacock pose. One that may be a bit unfamiliar to you because it also is a rather challenging pose to be in, to get into. It's a balance pose as well, but extremely strong stimulation of the sun center, the navel center, and another one whose virtues include, or its benefits include, destroying illnesses, awakening kundalini, balancing or removing imbalances in the doshas, digesting even the poison, both the poison of real poison in the body, like indiscriminately eaten food, but also the poison of our own bad thoughts, our own difficulties, our own negative tendencies. So the kind of power this pose gives us helps us to overcome our weaknesses. So coming up, and because it's a hard pose, we have a workaround for it. So if you're like many of us, this isn't a posture that we regularly practice because it's not really that accessible. But the one-legged peacock, the one arm, one leg peacock is a lot easier to manage. So you start by bringing one arm back, just bending the elbow. And if you need to stretch your arm or your wrist a little bit, you can, your fingers. Bring the elbow into the lower belly as far down as you can. So towards the center line and down towards the pubic bone. So the weight of the pelvis is resting or it's balanced on the point of the elbow. Now, because you have the other arm and the knee down, you're able to support yourself some weight and also the balance is a problem in this pose. Then you can lift the same leg as arm, and you'll find that is accessible and yet very intense in the belly, and you can put as much weight on that elbow as you would like. So you can start to come up or even stretch the opposite arm out so there's a little more weight. You can shift your weight forward onto your elbow a little bit more, less weight on the other side. Number of things that can be done here. And then you can also work with lifting the opposite leg, which is more challenging balance-wise, but does tend to shift a bit more weight into the elbow. So in that sense, it may be somewhat beneficial. And you can be on your forearm, you could also be on a hand with the elbow bent, whatever works for you in the front body. So this is really about making your practice work for you, knowing that your intention is to balance as much as possible on the elbow and the pelvis. And then we'll try the other side. So Knees apart, and again, bringing the fingers back. This is your little peacock leg here. The peacocks are able to eat almost anything, kind of like chickens in that way, but in their native environment, they can eat things like scorpions and centipedes and poisonous things. So their digestion is incredibly strong. And when you look at them, their little legs come right out from the center of their body, kind of a not on the end, but right in the middle, just like this. So here you are creating a peacock kind of digestion for yourself. And also, eventually, perhaps you will have the radiance of the peacock's feathers as well. Great. And now you can take a rest. And some of you may be ambitious and try the full version. Otherwise, just rest here in child's pose for a moment, since it's a very demanding pose. And when you're ready, we'll roll over onto the back. So first, let's roll up into bridge pose, just kind of establishing your connection in your spine again. Press your arms down, just roll up. Take a resting breath here, strong work through the feet, inner thighs engaged to hold the knees in line with the hips. Lifting the heart and breathing. And then you can roll down, and your options now are to come back into bridge pose, even to support the bridge pose if you would like. You can bring a bolster or a block under the pelvis. The other option is to come into Urdhva Dhanurasana or Chakrasana, as it's sometimes called, either upward facing bow or the wheel pose. So you bring the hands under the shoulders, facing the waist, facing down towards the body, and then pressing the hands into the floor, lifting the pelvis, and pressing up. Keep the knees tracking straight forward out of the hips again, and make sure there's plenty of length in the lower back. So this is a big opening for the front of the body, and particularly for this area that we've been stimulating so much in the lower belly. So that's important to keep the lower back from being pinched so that you're activating through the solar system area. And then soften your elbows when you're ready to come down. Keep your bend your neck so that you come onto your shoulders, roll down, and take a rest here. Then we'll roll up and down the spine a bit in a rocking chair just to take any tension out from the backward bend we just did. But even if you were in bridge pose, you might just rock back and forth here. And eventually you're going to catch the pelvis in your hands for the inverted action pose, Viparita Karani. This is one of the postures that is mentioned in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, but it is in the section on mudras. And the description of it is really just inverting the position of the sun and the moon. So it could be anything like Shirshasana or even Sarvangasana, or Halasana. All the inverted postures would fit that description. This is the one that the oral tradition has brought us to. And it's a little more accessible for all of us, where the pelvis is supported with the hands. And you can use a bolster or a prop here if your proportions don't really allow you to do this comfortably. So the lower belly relaxes a bit, and there's a kind of a sense of the energy of the lower body balancing the energy from the shoulders and the heart and the head. So you're inverted in the gravitational field. The other thing you can do here, which sometimes is taught in Sarvanganasana, but it will work here as well, is you bring one leg a little closer towards the head and the other away from you. You can split the legs and then twist. So you kind of rotate the pelvis. Now, you don't drop the legs that row, but it's a twist. And again, it gets right into this area of the body. And then come back to center, just twist back. Separate the legs in the other direction and twist in the other way. So just a bit of a turn in the inverted position has a different kind of experience for the pelvis, the legs, the sacrum, the gut, and can feel very balancing and refreshing. And when you're ready, you'll come back. And this is a pose that you might stay in some period of time if you're supported with a bolster or even a block under the pelvis. But we're going to move on today, so kind of rolling down. Taking a resting breath. And then we'll finish our practice today with a couple of sitting postures that are also featured in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, which work at a little bit of a more subtle level. So when you're ready, we'll roll over. And you can either come onto your hands and knees or into downward facing dog. And that's where we'll set up Gomukhasana, which you may have learned with the heels on opposite sides of the hips. This is the cow's face pose. So bringing the right knee forward. The other option for working with this pose is to bring, is to sit on the heel. So wrapping the other leg around behind you and then sit back on the heel. So this gives you that support or that impetus to establish a Mula Bandha in the pelvic floor. If you're comfortable here, you'll enjoy this pose. If it's not comfortable for whatever reason, you may sit between the heels on the floor. Use a prop if you need it. The other aspect of this posture is a lock in the arms. We'll have the same arm above as legs. So in this case, we're going to bring the left arm around behind us. See if you can bring the fingers all the way around so they even show behind the waist. So you really draw the elbow towards the center line before you even start. And then you work the hand up the back so the fingertips come towards the base of the skull. And then the upper arm comes up overhead and you catch the fingers. If that doesn't happen, then hold the opposite elbow or forearm behind the waist. So just holding the arms in this position will help to open the chest, the shoulder girdle, and the arms in a way that will support moving into a deeper version of the pose eventually. Both elbows move towards the center line. And you will find here that immediately the mind quiets. So drawing the front ribs in so you're not leaning forward, but staying balanced in the body as much as you can. So you'd like to have the shoulders level and looking straight ahead so you're not leaning forward. And then feel that connection from the pelvic floor through the crown and feel your breath in your lower ribs. And then if you like, you can finish this pose by releasing the arms. And fold forward, and I'll give you a bit of a stretch in the hip and perhaps a bit of a rest. Now you can move to the other side, either by coming back to downward dog or just by being on the hands and knees and cross the legs in the opposite direction. So the left leg will be on top, sitting on the heel, or perfectly fine, between the heels, if you'd rather sit between the heels. And notice if there's a difference one side to the other. And then the right arm goes around behind the waist. Fingers move towards the base of the skull. And the arm comes overhead and the fingers clasp. Drawing the elbows towards the center line. Lower elbow and upper elbow both move towards the center. Squeezing down the pelvic floor and the lower belly with the exhale. Base of the neck lining up with the base of the skull. The chin drops slightly inward, lifting through the crown. center of the chest over the center of the pelvis, feeling the breath in the lower ribs. When you're ready, you can come back to downward dog if you'd like, or back to the hands and knees, and then we'll sit back on the heels. Taking a breath or two here just to settle. And for a Simhasana, which is another one of the highly rated postures in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, and we'll sit on the heels, and you will come out, you'll come up off the heels as we do a strong exhalation. So there are a number of things that happen at the same time in the lion pose. The claws come out, so your arms are going to stretch, your fingers stretch, coming forward. The tongue comes out, the mouth opens, tongue goes way out, and there's kind of a sound. And then the eyes come to the forehead. So there's a strong stretch at the root of the tongue, and it's an exhale. So there's a strong work right down here in the sun center. So the moon center is stretching, the sun center is strongly engaged with the exhale, and there's a lot of energy coming out through the mouth. So on the count of three, we will roar like the lion. One, two, inhaling, and roar. Tongue out, eyes up. And you can have the arms straight. You can bring them forward, but you might think about having them straight as well, because and not on the floor, because that helps you to keep this engagement up through the spine. The instructions are not specific in the Pradipika, and the oral tradition does things a number of different ways. So again, inhaling, and when you're ready, exhale. And inhale, and this time as the arms come out, also come up off your seat and forward. So you're kind of leaping off your tree onto your hapless deer. Good. And then close your eyes and just take a resting breath and feel the effects. Obviously, this is not a stretch. Obviously, it doesn't require strength. But there's a very strong energetic component, and that's what you want to notice. Excellent. When you're ready, we'll come down to Shavasana. So here, spread the back body and the arms alongside, palms up, a little distance so you feel receptive and yet not contained at the same time. Bring your attention to the back of the body and soften the base of the skull, the base of the neck, broadening the upper back, lower back ribs soften against the mat. Let the pelvis soften and broaden, lengthen the legs, release them to the floor, and let the body relax. Bring your attention to your breath. And if you notice any gripping or pushing or any holding back, see if you can soften the body around breathing just by letting go of effort, not by insisting the breath be a certain way, but just softening. Let the whole body relax. Let the mind soften. So that you're present with the ease and comfort in the body and are watching as the body becomes quieter, as your breath becomes quieter. Be aware of the touch of the breath in the nose. And then bring your attention to the eyebrow center. And from that position, softening the face, the eyes, the mouth. But also being aware of the inner space of the head and softening the base of the skull, the ears, side of the head, the jaws, the front of the throat. Lengthening and softening the back of the neck down to the base of the neck, hollow of the throat. And then soften across the tops of the shoulders. Feel the shoulder girdle and allow it to soften and settle into place. And then bring your attention to both the right and left shoulders. And then down through the upper arms, softening the muscles of the arms into the elbows. And through both the forearms into the wrists. And for both the wrists out into the roots of the thumbs and all 10 fingers. And for the length of the fingers, feel the sensitive fingertips and breathe into the tips of the fingers. And draw your attention back through the hands to the wrists, up the forearms, the elbows, through the upper arms into the shoulders. Across the tops of the shoulders and then down into the chest. Feel the back of the ribs and soften the whole back of the rib cage. Let it settle against the floor. Softening the heart and the lungs. And rest your attention in the center of the chest, wherever you find a tender place. And breathe into that tenderness. And draw your attention down to the navel center. Soften the back of the waist. Be aware of that very subtle movement of the breath now. And feel how that movement of breathing originates here in the center of the body. And then draw your attention a little lower into the pelvis. Be aware of the lower belly and the buttocks. You can feel the bones of the pelvis, the support of the sacrum and the pelvic girdle. Feel the hip joints, inner thighs, sacrum and pelvic floor. and soften through the thighs into the knees. And then down through the shins and the calves into the ankles. And out through the heels, the arches, the insteps, the roots of the toes, the joints of the toes. And feel how sensitive the toe tips are. And rest your attention in the tips of the toes, breathing into the toe tips. And then bring your attention back through the toes. Feel the arches, insteps, the heels, the ankles. And move your attention through the lower legs into the knees, through the thighs into the hips. And from the hips across the back of the pelvis and into the lower belly. And from the lower belly, moving your awareness a little higher to the navel center. And into the solar plexus, being aware of the space in which the breath moves. And then draw your attention a little higher into the center of the chest. Feeling the balance between the back and the spine, the sternum, the back of the ribs, the front ribs. Feel the shoulder blades and the collarbones and the arms. And draw your awareness to the hollow of the throat, the base of the neck. And then draw your attention from the base of the neck to the center of the head, feeling the eyebrow center, the base of the skull. And with your focus here, be aware of the whole inner space of the body. And feel the whole body breathing. Then be aware of the touch of the breath in the nose. And allow the inhalation to bring that awareness, the length of the nose to the eyebrow center. Inhaling to the eyebrow center, exhale back to the touch of the breath in the nose. And then rest your attention at the eyebrow center. Again, being aware of the space of the body. The breathing space of the body. When you're ready, you'll take a slightly deeper breath. You feel the touch of the breath in the nose. Feel the weight of the body. Feel the space the body occupies. The space around you. Feel the weight and touch of the body on the floor. And then gently bring the fingers and toes into movement. And when you're ready to come out of Shavasana, bend the knees and roll to one side. Take a breath or two on your side. And reestablish connection with the movement of the breath. And softening around breathing. So that when you come up to sitting, there's still an inner sense of connection and spaciousness. And take a prop if you need it for your sitting. You won't sit for very long, but just being comfortable enough to find an inner connection and to realize that the inner ease, that deep sense of connection and pure awareness that comes from our guided relaxations is a state of being possible in your sitting posture as well, sitting in your comfortable cross-legged position. Erect spine. Bring your mind through the body, softening, holding lower belly, inner thighs, eyes, jaw, shoulders. On the exhale, little contraction, pelvic floor, lower belly, just enough to establish a lift and energetic alertness through the body and mind. Allowing the breath to be smooth and subtle. Being aware of the whole body with your focus at the eyebrow center. And bringing the hands together, the heart, feeling the sun and the moon being in their rightful places in your inner universe. Feeling the sun and the moon connected by the thread of your breath. And feeling grateful for the light and warmth of the sun and the nectar of the moon. And namaste.